Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rock Valley Christian Church. Welcome to all those who are here for the first time. I just want to welcome you. Also, those that are listening online, no, we don't want to welcome them. He's saying no. Also, to the people that are listening online, Wade and Jackie from Texas, Steven and Cookie, the Horns, and Cindy and Kay. So welcome you. My name is Juan Ascension, and today we're going to go back in history. Who likes history? Okay, so I'm going to use my board, and there's a lot of PowerPoints, so just let's try to make it a little easy on me. So pray for me while I'm speaking. I'm always nervous, but it is a blessing just to be here and talk about the Word of God and just to come united on that Sabbath day and you know, just worship and learn from His Word. So let's pray. Father, I just thank You for today, Lord. I pray that You go before us, Lord, that You help me, Lord, as I'm speaking, Lord, that You will speak through me, Lord. Father, I pray that the words that I speak, Lord, that people will hear them and that they will understand whatever You want them to understand, Lord Jesus. And if this is something new that they never heard before, Lord, that that You will reveal it to them and that they will keep it in their heart and that they go back and study it even more and they grow more and more in Your love and Your mercy and in everything You did for us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank You, and I praise You, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, I cannot say that we're going Old Testament, but let's start on Matthew 15:22. If you could open up your Bibles. And it says in Matthew 15:22, and behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying. And she said, "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Okay? So we have a woman who's not a Jew or from Israel, but she's asking Jesus because she has seen Him do a lot of miracles. If you have studied the Gospels, you see Jesus just going and healing people. A good book to read is the book of Mark. I mean, all books are good to read, but what I like about Mark is right in chapter 1 and 2, it starts into action. Jesus going, healing people, taking out demons, and it just goes into action like an action movie, right? And we see that this woman probably knew about Jesus, and she understood who He was. She called Him the Son of David. So she had some knowledge about I will say, Jehovah, because He knew that. And He said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is oppressed by a demon," right? So what did Jesus do? He did not answer. He did not answer her a word. And His disciple came and begged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." So she's like, "Just heal her, Lord, and send her, because, you know, we're getting tired." And Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was His response. Think about it. There's this woman. She knows who Jesus is. And she's claiming, asking Him to save His daughter. And He was, "I was just only sent to the house of Israel." Next, the woman came and she came and knelt before Him and saying, "Lord, help me." Imagine the woman asking for His daughter, her daughter, right? And she's like, "Lord, help me." And Jesus said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow. First He says quiet, and now He says that. I'm not going to go in a rabbit hole right here. Some people say the dogs, because they come from many teachings that the Gentiles, they were called dogs by the Jews, right? But the word here, the dogs, is actually a puppy. Jesus is not calling her like a dog, like the Jews, the Sadducees used to call the Gentiles. He's gonna give an example. So she's like, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But I'm telling you, it's not the word. So we're gonna talk about it. Just make sure he's not offending her. He's just giving like an example. And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Who has a little dog or a dog? Aren't they always there waiting for you when you drop the food and eating from there? And Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Why was she healed? See, Jesus knew it wasn't that she wanted. Jesus wanted to give us examples for us. So that's why he's too quiet and he said, "I'm coming back to the house of Israel." That's who I was sent to. He knew, I want to say that he knew that the answer was going to be her faith. That she was going to have faith and said, "You know, even the little dog said from the master, so I want to receive a little bit of the grace of God. A little bit of the grace of God is enough for me. More than any gold, more than any riches. Just the grace of God is enough for us." But who is the house of Israel? And that's where we're going back to history. And that's what I tell you. Who is the house of Israel? Let's start and let's go back and start with Abraham. Father Abraham, who has many sons. And many sons are Father Abraham. What else? And so are you. Right? Abraham. Remember, the God made a promise to Abraham. He said, the Lord, Jehovah, said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will be blessed, those who bless you, and he who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay? So God is making a promise to Abraham that he's going to bless all the families of the earth through him. Now, Abraham was married to who? Sarah, right? But he also, Sarah had a servant named Hagar. And for extra points, did Abraham get married after? Keturah, right? Six more sons. So, as you know, the promise, Sarah gave the slave, her slave, her servant, to have a child. And they had Ishmael, right? And we're not going to go through here again. This is more for you guys to study. But this is where Ishmael, God said, "I'm going to still bless him. And his descendant is going to be a great descendant," right? That's where the religion of Muslims come, right? All the Muslims and everything. So that's where he came. But the promise came through Sarah and their son, who is? And you could correct me if I don't write something right. Oh, this is double A. It's because I think in Spanish, the names are almost similar, and I get confused. So they had Isaac. And Isaac married a relative from his family named I'm testing you guys. Rebecca, right? And they had a son or sons. One was called Jacob and Esau, right? They were twins. You guys know that? We this is important. We have a problem in our house because I also have twins. But my son is always getting mad at me because I said he's the baby of the family. Her sister is the big sister, right? But my son is the big one. It's like it doesn't matter. Like it's just a minute. I'm gonna prove my son that it matters. Cause when Esau was born, Jacob was holding his heel. He just came right after him. But who received who was the one who was gonna get the promise? It was Esau. So the minute matters, son. He's the older, Jacob is the baby, you're the baby. But as you guys know, Esau sold his right for a bowl of stew, right? They kind of trick on when Isaac was going to bless Esau, Jacob went and put some fur hairs on his arms because he was hairy, Esau, but Jacob wasn't, and he was kind of blind, and he still blessed him, right? So now Jacob is the promise. He's not the first son. And now Jacob got married. Not once, but twice, right? So Jacob first set an eye on who? Rachel. He went and saw, or his servant saw her, and is like, I want to marry Rachel. And the dad is like, work 7 years. And the dad saw that it was a good business because he was working a lot for her. But he tricked her, and then he gave her who? Leah. Okay? And Leah had a servant, and Rachel had a servant. Dude, I don't know. I'm sorry. Leah had a servant. So this was Zilpah, and Bilhah. Correct? Okay. So Jacob. And we're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So they had, Jacob had 12 kids. And this is not in no particular order. Oops. One. I don't know how to count. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, right? We're going to fill out the names. Yes, yeah, there's a daughter, but right now we're counting the sons. So, tell me some of the names. Asher? Gad? Reuben? He was the first one, right? Simeon, Levi, Judah, Benjamin, Joseph, sorry for my writing. And then Bilhah, we have, no, that's over here. And Bilhah, we have, Dan, good job. And the other one is Naphtali. How do you spell that? Naphtali. You guys get the... Now, that's 12. But what happened here? Here. Jacob, of later on changed his name to Israel. Remember the whole story? They were captured in Egypt, and then they came back, and Joseph was sold by his brothers, and then he became the ruler of Egypt. And then Joseph had two sons. And what are the names? Ephraim. And Manasseh. So that's not 12, that's 14. Right? That's 14. Okay? What happens in the history of Israel, usually Joseph isn't counted because let's see why. And he said to me, behold, this is God, Jehovah. I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of people. And it will give this land to your offspring after you an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, this is not Jehovah, this is Jacob telling Joseph, your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came into you in Egypt are mine. And then he goes, it is Ephraim and Simeon are. Okay? So that's why we don't kind of count Joseph. So I'm going to put a number 10 here, but we still have 13. How does that work? What are we missing here? When the tribes, Israel, was settled down in Israel, the Levites didn't get a land. They were the priests. So I'm going to put 11 here. So that's 12 tribes, because Levites were just like the priests of the land, right? Everyone is following. I know it's getting a little long, but look what Jacob says to Ephraim. But his father refused and said, I know my son, I know he shall also become a people. And he should also be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations. So Ephraim was also again the younger. Manasseh was the older. And when Jacob was going to bless him, he crossed his arms. And he put his right hand, which is the one that receives the blessing, he put it on Ephraim. And Jacob is like, you got it wrong. It should be the other way. But Jacob is like, no, I know what I'm doing. Ephraim should be a blessing, and Ephraim should be a multitude of nations. Remember that phrase, because it's going to become key in our study. Ephraim will become a multitude of nations, right? Everything's so good so far? Now what happened with Israel, with the 12 tribes? Jehovah entered a marriage covenant with Israel. He married Israel, right? He made a covenant with this land right here. Okay? He said he was going to marry them. He made a promise to them. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, for you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Jehovah your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all the people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And this is what God wanted on his covenant. He says, and now Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I'm commanding you today for your good. That's all that God wanted for Israel to do. What did he require for them? To love the Lord, to walk on his way, to obey all the commandments. And guess what? Israel, the bride, say yes. He said, then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do and will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So the people accepted. They said, we want to be with you, God. We're going to say yes. But what happened? We all know the story. It was still in honeymoon phase. And what did Israel do? They fell into idolatry. They built a golden calf and built it and worshiped it. And they in a way cheated on God, didn't they? So this covenant that God made with Israel, they broke it right away. And it became worse and worse and worse, to the point where Jehovah divided Israel. It says in 1 Kings 11, 30 to 31, then Ahija, which is a prophet, laid a hold of the new garment that was on him. So he had a garment and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jehovah, take for yourself 10 pieces. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. It says in the Bible that Solomon became corrupted for having so many wives and trying to please all of the wives. And they started to worship other gods and do rituals and do their own festive days. So God is like, I'm going to divide the kingdom of Israel. And he says, I'm going to take the 10 tribes. Okay? And when he divided it, it became into the house of Israel. And the house of Judah. It is also known as the Northern Kingdom. Kingdom. And the Southern, right? Another name for this is Samaria. Have you guys know that? Because Samaria became the capital. Is Samaria? Yeah, Samaria. And another name is Ephraim. Good job. Remember, a multitude of people will come out of Ephraim. Okay? I'm almost getting there. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David. So God is saying, you know, I'm going to divide, you take 10 kingdoms, but I'm going to leave one tribe. Because he made a promise to David that the promise was going to come through his descendant. So God made a promise to David that he will never destroy the line, the Israel, totally. So it was to remain with Judah, right? And he said, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worship Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites, that they might not have walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight, and keeping my statutes and my rules, as David his father did. Yet to his son, nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a ruler of all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, who I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes, but will make the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it to the 10 tribes. Yet his son, I will give you one tribe that David, my servant, might always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, where the city has chosen to put my name, and I will take you and you shall reign over all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. So Judah saw for all that the adulteries of the faithless one, Israel. So Judah saw that the northern kingdom kept on getting worse. And believe me when I tell you that the language that the Bible uses is about a whore. God called his northern kingdom a whore, an adulterer, a prostitute. And he said, return, come back to me. I will restore you. And they kept on going worse. And Judah kept on seeing that. And Judah saw that for all the adulteries of faithfulness, one Israel, I have sent her away. So God, what did God do? He married and now he divorced. Okay, pay attention to that. Marry and divorce. Yet her treasured sister Judah did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. So Judah wasn't also all that good. But because of the promise of David, he did not separate it from them. Okay? Good so far? Am I losing people? Am I getting to somewhere? Jeremiah 31:32 says, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declared the Lord. I want you to make sure that you guys know that God made a marriage covenant. He was their husband, they were the bride. Now he divorced them, right? Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed him out of his sight. No one was left but the tribe of Judah only. This is important. How did this nation, Ephraim, who is a multitude of nations, the Assyrians came, the Assyrians, and they conquered them. And guess what happened to them? They got dispersed throughout the world. They ran everywhere. So the kingdom was no more, right? So this is the earth. Right now it looks flat, but we're not gonna get into that rabbit hole. But it went through all the earth. Remember Ephraim, multitude of nations. It went everywhere. There was no more. As you read in the Bible, they just got dispersed. That's the house of Israel. Remember Jesus said, I came from the house, lost house of Israel? This is what's happening here. This one stayed there, still there, right? But wait, there's hope. So now God divorced them. But there's hope. God said, I will make a new covenant. Okay? The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. With who? This new covenant is with them. This, I want you to understand this point. This is also key. I know everything I say is key. But it's key. Who is this new covenant for? Why did I say it's important? Many people don't understand this concept. They say that today, right now, is the church, the ones that receive the salvation, the grace, the covenant, everything. and that God will deal later on with Israel. Is that true? And this is what many churches teach today. And this is where you get replacement theory. This is where you teach that you're not going to go through tribulation. This is where there's so many teachers built around it because they're saying, now is the church, it's not Israel. But this new covenant, did I really read 33? For this new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay, this covenant, take a picture of this. You guys could read it. I just did a search on the Bible app, everywhere that say covenant. Especially if you read Hebrews 8 through 6 to 13, it's the same words that I will make a new covenant. But what I like about Hebrews is that he's saying, this is Jesus who is the covenant. So Jesus, his blood of the new covenant, listen, Jesus said, this is the blood of my new covenant. It's the covenant that Jesus said that he was going to give to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So he wanted to fulfill the promise of Abraham because God had divorced him already. So the covenant that he was going to give, it was for them. Israel is always on the picture. It is a promise to them. Are we following or no? But we have a problem. What's the problem? Anybody? I don't know why Larry's cheating, but yeah. When you marry someone and you divorce her and she goes to be with another man or something, and let's say the guy dies, she could not come back to you because then you will be cursed on taking your wife back who left you and be with another man. You can do that. So if God divorced Mary, gave him a divorce, how is he going to take him back? And this is in Deuteronomy. Basically, I just summarized this. We could read it or not, but that's what I said. Basically, if they marry and marries and he goes and comes back, he could not remarry her again. The last part of Deuteronomy 24:4. Then the former husband who sent her away might not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination. Listen to that. It's going to be an abomination before the Lord. And you should not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. You guys follow? You see the problem? God is not going to break his own law. He's not going to remarry them again after he sent them in a house of divorce. But we have a solution. And we see it in Rome. See, Paul understood. And I want you guys to understand. I know I went really quick. And some people was like, man, this is taking so long. It's not that quick. But there's chapters and chapters and verses that God talks of Israel in a marriage covenant. Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. It is a marriage covenant. And Paul understood this. And he said, or do you know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who the law, that the law is binding to a person only as long as he lives. And this is the law of marriage that we were talking about. Why did I say that? Because he continues. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage, okay? You guys follow? Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while the husband is alive. But if the husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. You guys follow that? Oops. Likewise, my brothers, I'm telling you, Paul understood. You also have died to the law through the body of Christ. And he's talking about the law, this marriage law. You have died to the law of the body of Christ so that you might belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that he may bear fruit to God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we're released from the law. Again, this law of marriage. We're released, having died to that which is held captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the new old way of the written code. And Ezekiel says to them, says the Lord God, behold, I'm about to take the stick. I'll talk about this right now. Let me go back to Paul. Guys, I'm going to take a moment here. How can God marry again? He needs to die. That's why it's important to understand and to know that God sent his only son. And he says in John, 1 John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, right? If Jesus is not God incarnated on the flesh, how could he die and abolish the covenant of marriage if he's not? You guys follow? The husband had to die. The covenant had to be nullified. How else is that going to happen if that's not true? And he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he was crucified on the cross. And that was the blood of the new covenant. Now God is able to marry Judah and Israel again, because he died for our sins. He died for the penalty of the sins. That was nailed to the cross. The marriage certificate that he had made, that was nailed to the cross. You guys understand? You guys follow? That's why it is important to understand and to know that. Also in Ezekiel 37:19 says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm about to take the stick of Joseph, that's the northern house, the house of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel associated with him. Remember, a multitude of nations. Does it make sense that they got dispersed to all the world? And they got blended into the world? If you do a DNA test, maybe you don't have any blood from any of these tribes. Maybe you do. According to 23andMe, I have like 0.003% of some Jewish blood. But you know, it does not matter. Either if you're by blood, what did Jesus told the woman? It is by your faith. We're going to see another verse right now that says that we have been drafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, the promise was to them. Not like many churches teach today, that is the church, only the Christian church. It is still to them. This promise of the sticks on Ezekiel says that he will take the two sticks and will use the stick of Judah and make them one stick, that there might be one in my hand. And then he said to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations. Remember, Ephraim from the nations, that he might be. And will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make one nation in their land on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over all the woman. There shall be no longer two nations. are no longer two divided, two kingdoms. I still believe this is future. The covenant, it has been paid, the blood. Remember, when Jesus comes back at the sound of the trumpet, he's going to gather all the people from all the nations, all those who were in Christ. Right? He's going to gather them. And what happens after that? They're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the second marriage. And that's where he's going to join the two sticks. And this promise is going to... Read Ezekiel 37. There's still more that talks about that, what I'm just telling you. Isn't this interesting? I mean, to me it is. But we all have hope. Like I was saying, it doesn't matter if you don't have blood of any of the 12 tribes or the 10 tribes that were dispersed. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not to what you do or don't do. It is just by declaring, like the woman said, she had faith in Jesus. And she said, your faith is great. I just received news this week. The pastor from Calvary Chapel, where I accepted the Lord 25 years ago, just passed away, Jeff Johnson. You know, you meet a lot of pastors, but this man really loved people. He was a humble man. He just wanted to share Jesus. I accepted Jesus by faith. I didn't know about the Sabbath. I didn't know about the feast. I didn't know about dietary laws. Everything was through faith. This man brought many people to Jesus through faith. Faith alone. Now there's people who know the truth and they decide to trick people into believing other stuff. But once you know the truth, you must obey it, right? Now that has been revealed. The point that I'm trying to make is that this meant, I don't know, and the word of God says that only God and James do not become judges of the law. Only God judges, and he knows if we're due by works or anything. But remember, it is by faith. All I could tell you guys is that I'm here today. My eyes have been open to Sabbath and all these things. If I don't do these things that have been open to me, then it becomes a sin to me. But those people who they haven't still learned the truth, I still believe they're safe. Still believe that they have. I mean, what are they missing? What are the minor things of the law? Pastor David says this all the time, and I forgot what he says. he told the Pharisees, "For you tithe and you mint and deal and you do tithings and everything, and have neglected the weightier matter of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. This ought to be done without neglecting the others." That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. So guys, it is through faith. It is through mercy. It is through justice. It is through the blood of the Lamb that was shed on that cross that we have hope, that we have inherit eternal life, and that we belong to this new covenant that he made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Listen in Ephesians, just to wrap it up and to end. Therefore, remember that one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made by the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. So we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do because we're not part of it, some of us. And strangers to the covenants of promise. So these covenants, if we were not part of it, the Gentiles had no promise. They had nothing to do with it. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, as He has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might create in himself a new one, a new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in the one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So what did Jesus kill? Destroy the hostility of the law. That's what it was, destroyed. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So, and just to end right here. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. We're no longer strangers and aliens. But you are fellow citizens. Amen? What was the worship team singing? We're a child of God. We're children of God. So we're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. This household of God, now the Gentiles are members through the blood of Jesus Christ, building the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you're also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Guys, I hope you learned something today. And it's a lot, but it is just beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful. And if you've never seen this as a marriage, and what happened with Israel and how we are redeemed and we're partakers of those covenants and those promises, I hope God showed you something today. Remember, it is by faith alone that will belong to him. And I thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And Father, I just pray that you help us, Lord, to understand the words that we're speaking here today, Lord. That we will keep that is yours, and that we will just put apart things that maybe I said in my own flesh. But God, that you will speak to us and help us to grow more in you. And thank you for the blessing, the opportunity of being partakers of your kingdom, of your covenants, of your promise through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, I just thank you for everything you do. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. I just thank you and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.